Good?
Cool.
Better.
Good. Good morning, FBC. It is good to see you here this morning. At first, when I got here, I thought there would be four or five, and like the loaves and fishes, you have grown. This morning, we're going to continue on in the series that Jack has been doing on church myths. And as Jack has processed through those, he has brought up the fact that there is always a certain amount of truth in myths. There's always a certain amount of substance that are in myths. And so that's why often we grab hold of them. This morning, Jack has asked me to look into a statement, and it's a little different than the one that may be in the bulletin, which says, is God in... has a blueprint for my life. I've changed that to a statement that says, God is in control of my life. And it's a statement we've all used at one time or another, and we especially cling to that statement when we go through very difficult times. God is in control of my life. But is the statement true, or is it a myth? The scripture we're going to look at this morning comes from Proverbs 3, and we're going to look at verses 5 to 12, but I'm going to read it this morning from the Message. Eugene Peterson has a very interesting slant on this scripture, and I really like it. You probably remember we did a series on Proverbs in the last year, and I think Nathan probably preached on this. So this is what the Message says. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health and your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear Lord, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your words of wisdom passed on to us from generations long ago. We pray that your spirit would give life to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may have heard about an incident that happened about 3 weeks ago. This incident actually ended with Jan, my wife, myself, Scott and Diana, in handcuffs. I actually told the law enforcement officer that this would become part of a sermon illustration, and he went, "Oh no, you're a pastor?" I said, "No, I'm an accountant who preaches." But try as I might, I couldn't make it fit into this sermon, so you're not going to hear that story today. Unless, of course, you want to talk to me after the service and pay me $20. And I'll be happy to embellish it even from there. But suffice to say, I'm here today rather than rotting in an American jail. That really makes you want to hear it, doesn't it? No. Let's raise it to $30, shall we? We're not going to talk about that, though. There is an issue that has been around since the dawn of time. Since mankind was on earth, and especially since mankind began to travel. As soon as man left where he was, and woman, there became an issue. And of course the issue is that men do not have the ability to ask for directions. Like, I firmly believe that if the three wise men, and I use the word wise within quotations because I'm not sure how wise they were, if they had simply asked for directions before they got to Herod, they probably would have made the birth of Jesus instead of being 2 years late. Now, we feel bad for them, so we always put them in the nativity scene, but in truth, they never made it. I firmly believe, too, that men do everything in their power to hide the fact that they are lost. Christopher Columbus said that he discovered America when, in fact, he was looking for what? China, which was completely in the opposite direction. Ferdinand Magellan. Yes, Ferdinand Magellan. He went completely around the earth. And he was trying to go to Costco. Children of Israel, they actually found the promised land, but it didn't have a sign that said the promised land. So they got lost. Gord and Connie and Jan and I ended up under the... I should have told you I was going to use this. Under the Jack Fraser Bridge in Vancouver one time. On the land, not in the water, though. Had we stayed lost long enough, I'm sure we would have ended up in the water. Gord and I were prepared to circumnavigate the earth rather than ask someone for directions, but at one point the car slowed down and the women leapt from it and asked someone where we were. And hence we are here this morning. I could go on, which I'm sure the women would love me to do, but I think I've made my point. But brothers and sisters, things have changed. This is the dawn of a new time. Perhaps the greatest invention of all time has come along, and that invention was no doubt created by a group of lost men. And that is the GPS, the Global Positioning System. And I would have mine with me this morning, but my daughter took it to Calgary, which means women are no better at directions than men, but they're more open to input. Now, the GPS sends a signal to a satellite, and then that satellite sends a signal back down to the GPS to let you know exactly where you are. But better than that, it will tell you how to get to where you're going. And the key word there is it tells you how to get to where you're going. It actually speaks to you. My GPS is programmed with a woman's voice, and we're going to call her Isabel, Izzy for short. Now, Izzy has a nice voice. It doesn't have any emotion in it. She doesn't say, you know, you should have made that turn when I told you, dummy. Now we have to go completely around the whole world to get where we need to be. I mumbled that last part, didn't I? Not enough coffee. In other words, go around in a circle, and let's get back to where you want to be. She always goes, turn right. Turn right, turn right, turn left. Now, GPS can give you all kinds of information, like where the closest gas station is, or a shopping mall, or a restaurant. And if you want to see points of interest, it'll give you that information as well. GPS works in Canada, works in the United States, Mexico, works all over the place. And at the very same time that you're using your GPS, there's all these other people around the world using theirs, trying to figure out where they are and where they're going. The writer of Proverbs understood the need for someone to be in control of our lives. Not just where we're going, but where are we now? He or she understood the complexities of life are far greater than any of us can handle on our own. We are one in a world population of 7 billion. One in 7 billion. Each individual making decisions that impact the lives around them. Good decisions and bad decisions and evil decisions causing a ripple effect on the world around us. Is God really in control of my life? The writer begins by saying, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. When you're coming into downtown Seattle at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Friday before the July 4th long weekend, I need to know that Izzy isn't rattled by the situation. I already am. I need to trust the fact that the directions she gives me are correct. I don't want to go the wrong way on a one-way street. If someone is in control, we need to trust the source. Have they proven to be trustworthy in the past? Is their information sound? Do they know where we are now? And especially, where are we going? The wisdom of Proverbs comes from years of life experience, years of seeing God at work in the writer's life, but also in the lives of generations long before that. The stories passed on from parents to children from the beginning of time tell about the power and the wisdom of the one who created the universe. The stories all say God is good. His wisdom is sound. He controls the universe. He doesn't become rattled when the going gets tough. He has the ability to do anything. You can trust him with knowing where you are now and where you need to go. So why do we choose not to trust him? If he comes with the perfect track record, why don't we always trust him? Why are there times when I don't trust Izzy? And I turn in the wrong place. You come into Seattle, I know that my hotel is somewhere by the Space Needle. Unfortunately, you can see the Space Needle from a lot of places in Seattle. And as Izzy is taking me past it, I'm going, no, I have to be back over there. So I turn. And Izzy goes, turn right, turn right, turn right, turn left. History is littered with the mistakes of great men and women. The Bible is littered with the mistakes of great men and women, people who needed directions but were prepared to drive around the world rather than to ask. Adam and Eve and Moses and David and Solomon and the disciples and on, we consider them heroes of the faith, but they made mistakes while having a relationship with God. They did things that were immoral and illegal and spiritually incorrect and downright stupid. So why didn't God stop them? When Izzy gives me directions on where to turn, she is giving me a choice. I can do what she says, or I can choose to do my own thing. I don't have a USB port in my head where I can plug her directly in and she can control my hands and my feet to make the turn she wants me to make. And in the same way, God has given us free will. And I sometimes wish he hadn't. But he has. Why? I don't think God is in the business of creating robots. It's not what he does. He allows us the ability to make decisions. And then he honors those decisions. What do I mean by honors those decisions? If you give someone free will and they make a decision, be it right or wrong, to honor it means you have to step back and let the ramifications of that decision take place. If Izzy tells me to turn right and I turn left, I have to live with the fact that I might get lost. The same happens within our lives. If God calls us to go one direction and we choose to go the other, we step out of his will and we chance getting lost. And after a while, if we do it enough, we can't hear his voice anymore. And bad decisions become compounded, doing more and more damage because we have lost our GPS. And we don't know where we are or where we are going. And we all know people who have simply wandered away from the faith, choosing to circumnavigate the earth rather than ask for directions. When I refuse to listen to Izzy, I can end up in some dangerous areas of a city. And when you're an accountant, pretty much anyone who has a modicum of toughness scares me. Yvonne Wesnage, for one. If I am lost in a nasty part of town, it is because I have refused to follow Izzy's instructions. I am paying a price for my lack of trust. Now I have to make a conscious, firm decision to trust her again. I have to make that choice to listen to her voice. Turn right, turn right, turn right, turn left. We're going back to where we need to be. Writer of Proverbs says, run to God, run from evil. He's calling us back to where we need to be. Back to the place where we made the wrong turn and we got lost. Back to living within God's will and blessing, and back to knowing where we are and where we are going. Back to releasing control into God's hands. And that may be an extremely difficult journey. Going back to deal with issues and behavior and broken relationships and broken hearts and damaged integrity is not an easy thing to do, but often it is necessary. The writer says, but don't, dear friends, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. It is a difficult journey back, but it isn't traveled alone. God is with us each step of the way. And what comes out of returning? The writer says your body will glow with health, your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over. I don't know about you, but you know, my bones could use some vibration. Vibration. To glow with health. Men don't glow usually with anything. We sweat, but I want to glow. What is the writer saying? When we choose to allow God to control our lives, we are in tune with the creator of the universe. We are infused by his spirit, and it comes out of every pore in our body. Rob Bell, in one of his Numa videos, talks about being part of this amazing piece of music where God is the central melody. And as we come alongside, we are each a string of harmony that intertwines with that central melody. The writer promises barns that burst and vats that brim over, blessing upon imagination for his children. We are not foreigners. We are not strangers. We are his children. Is God really in control of my life? Is it a myth or is it a fact? Is God in control of your life? Take a second and think about where you are spiritually right now. Do you know where you are? Who's in control of where you're going? Have you made decisions that have taken you off course? And do you need to go right and go right and go right and go left? Do you trust God to control your life? When you have in the past, has he ever let you down? And will he ever let you down in the future? I've come to realize that when I'm lost in a strange place, driving around the world doesn't help. That is simply running away from the things that God wants us to deal with as part of this journey in life. He has places for us to be and things for us to do that may scare us, but they will bring such amazing blessing. Are your barns bursting? Are your vats brimming over? Or this morning, do you need to turn right and turn right and turn right and turn left? Let's pray together. Father, we want to be able to say that you are in control of our life and not have it be a myth. We want to be able to say those words and have this amazing ring of truth about them. We want you to be so much a part of us, and us so much a part of you, that we glow. We ask, Father, that where we have stepped aside and gone the wrong way, that you will forgive us for those things. And if we are there now, we just pray that you would draw us back. We thank you so much that you are so full of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.